Hello, everyone. This is Julie Fleming with LexaNova Consulting, and I am delighted to be continuing the conversation with Deborah Dubree of ClearEdge. As you know from listening to the first part of our conversation, Deborah is a fount of information and knowledge and skill about what it takes to leave average behind, to break that addiction to average. And so, Deborah, I thank you for agreeing to continue our conversation and talk about this some more and share some additional information.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, Julie.
So, as I just said, your business is ClearEdge. Let's talk about this edge. How do you define the edge? What is that?
Well, the edge is really being able to do something better and different than anybody else around you. It's really one of the things that I looked at as I was growing myself, as well as my, my career, was how could I outsmart the obvious? How could I look at anybody else that was around me and say, what is it that I can do different and better than anybody else? I believe I mentioned in the first part of the interview is knowing how to capitalize, monetize, and leverage your intelligence, your talents, and your competitive attitude. Competitive attitude is huge. And the competitive attitude is not you to everybody else around you. It's really you to you. It's really looking at what are you really good at and how are you going to leverage that? How are you going to look at whatever else is going on within your peer group or the peer group above you and say, how can I outsmart that? What is it that they're missing? Where's the gap between the repetitiveness of how people are doing things now, knowing the end result that you're looking to achieve, and say, how can I get there better, quicker, faster, more effectively and efficiently? And at that point, you have the competitive edge.
And so really what I'm hearing is so much about who you are and how you approach everything, and that it's almost inborn in some ways, that it does not come with the degrees and all of those things.
That's absolutely right. I may offend a few people here, but it won't be the first time that I look at the information that you can gain in school. Is important? Absolutely. That information and that knowledge is necessary. But I can tell you, I've interviewed so many high-level national and international college students who were looking to get a position within my company, and by the time they left an hour interview with me, they looked at me and said, oh my gosh, I had no idea how much that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's because life doesn't come to you in a book. Life comes to you in experiences. Unless you're willing to step out on the edge, and instead of repel backwards, instead of retract, you know, I call it the touch and run, where you touch excellence and then drop back into average, and then maybe a little later you'll touch excellence and drop back into average again. You need to be able to touch and stay. There has to be a level of consistency that you're dependable for being consistent. Doesn't mean perfect. Nobody is perfect. You're consistent with the results that you get, and you start to realize that. We go back to the evidence of realizing and understanding that you are getting consistent results, not necessarily perfect results.
And, you know, when it comes to business development, when it comes to income, I would always rather see consistency than these, as you say, the brief shining moments of excellence that are then followed by a period of, it's all right. Mediocre at best.
Well, and that's the thing. That's expectations. Because once somebody has touched excellence and then they drop back into average, there's a level of expectations that's been set by everybody else around you. It might be your peer group, whoever is around you that might hold the purse strings that will, you know, give you that top level pay that will put you into the next level, the next position within your company. So it really is important to be able to touch and stay, because unless you have consistency, your flash in the pan, everybody will go yay, yay, yay in the moment, and then the excitement goes away, heads go down, and you're back to being just one of the norm.
So when someone is ready to make the break from average, I know you talk about six A's. Could you walk us through that?
Yeah, I definitely will. I did want to touch on one other thing also is one of the things that really set myself apart and all the you know the key professionals that I work with, whether it's executives or entrepreneurs or the athletes, is a system that I created called Tame and Train Your Beast. And the Tame and Train Your Beast really goes to knowing and understanding what do you believe, what is the emotions that you're putting with that, having acute awareness, which is the A in beast. The S is your self-identity, which is huge, to know and understand who you are. How do you identify yourself? What do you think about yourself when you're all alone with your thoughts? So your self-identity is extremely important, and then your talk and walk, which is the T. It's your verbal and nonverbal language, also your body language. So the Tame and Train Your Beast method is extremely important to being able to create that competitive edge and outperform your competition consistently. As we go back to the six A's of acute awareness, the six A's start with being aware, being able to be specifically and exactly aware of what do you want, what do you want to achieve in that moment, and then also understand what's getting in your way, which is what the Tame and Train Your Beast method will look at, is what is it that's getting in your way? Is it a belief? Is it emotion? Is it some thoughts that you're having? Are you not as aware as you could or should be in the moment? And then the second part of these six A's is ask. To ask, as I just mentioned, the questions around, you know, what are you thinking? How are you behaving? You know, what is it that you're noticing when you're within yourself as far as the beliefs? So that's the beast aspect. So we started out with A is the awareness, two is ask. Three is called act, A-C-T. The A in act stands for assess your imagination. Now, imagination we just talked about for a few minutes. So once you're aware of where you want to go and you ask yourself what's getting in your way, so now you've identified your thoughts and emotions and behaviors that are getting in the way. Now in the third A, which is act, you access your imagination and you start to, the C part of it is choose the emotions. Choose the emotions that you really would like to have in that moment. So let's say that you're in fear and you've noticed because you've asked yourself, step number two, you know, well, what am I thinking and feeling and how am I behaving right now? And you go, huh, interesting. I'm freaking out right now. I'm afraid or I'm in overwhelm or whatever your feeling might be. In the third step, act, you can access your imagination, choose your emotion and say, well, right now I'd like to feel courage or I'd like to feel calm, I'd like to be more clear, whatever emotion you might want to have, and then you simply allow yourself to take action, to imagine what it would be like if you were to take action in that moment and truly imagine it with the emotion, seeing specifically and exactly how would you be taking that next step. Do it in your mind first with the emotion and then actually take the steps, then actually do it in the actual world. Step number four of the six A's of acute awareness is assess. And this is the one that most people miss, is they take action, but then they forget to go back and really assess. Or if they assess, they're doing a lot of judgment around the assessment. And the reality is, even with my, let's go back to football players, because they're such a great example for the rest of the world, is that even a football player, when they go back and they look at their film, let's say they play on Sunday, and then they're looking at the film, getting ready for the next game the following week, they're looking at the film of the team that's coming up, and they're looking at themselves as well as the team that's coming up. They're looking and assessing, what is it that I need to do differently than next time? How do I need to think and behave? What is it that I missed? How can I adjust? Not with judgment, but simply from an observatory standpoint is assessing how can they make a difference. Step number five is adjust. So this is where you actually make the plan of how are you going to adjust. You actually lay it out in your mind or on paper. This is exactly and specifically what I'm going to adjust. And once you know what you're going to adjust, then the opportunity for your results to improve, the ratio goes way up. Because you've already taken the step forward, you've already put it into action, so now you know how to adjust on real-world results, and then you can take the action again. The sixth step, and this is huge, and it's, I mean, I cannot even express how huge it is to creating consistent success routines, the six steps in the six A's of acute awareness is appreciate. Appreciation is something we do so little of. People often tend to think that it's soft. It's soft to appreciate yourself, or it's wrong to appreciate yourself. And the reality is, when you can appreciate yourself and do it in detail, what it does to the mind and what it does to the emotions is it actually gives you a blueprint as to what to do the next time. So let's say I were going to appreciate myself. I'm going to appreciate myself for being on this call. So I get off the call and I go, you know what? You were freaking awesome. You had energy in your voice. You were totally engaged with Julie the entire time. You really knew your topic matter. You gave specific and exact results, you know, on and on and on. That would be the way that my mind, my mental aspect, the routine of my mind would go, oh, that's what you like. So the ability for me to do it again becomes that much greater. So it's appreciation with emotion and with exactness.
You know, that's fascinating to me, Deborah, because as you know, as anybody who knows me knows, I'm a dog lover, and so I'm always thinking about training my dogs. And the positive reinforcement that I give my dogs, the positive reinforcement when a member of my team does something really well and I tell them that was so great, I have never thought about positive reinforcement for myself in that same way.
And that's an amazing fact because I'm an animal lover as well. I mean, when I was over in Africa, one of the things I did was really, I mean, I learned 2 weeks I learned from animals just watching them as to how they operate in the world. And if you want to really, you know, pay attention to the best way to train animals and kids is to give a high level of appreciation, to energetically do it within yourself first. In other words, if an animal is very excited, I have an animal, my dog, my golden doodle, sitting next to me right now, that when she gets all hyper and excited and whatever else and it's not a good time for playtime, when I start to calm myself down and I calm my own voice down, she immediately becomes calm.
Hmm.
The same thing happens with us. We are like there's a little child living inside of each one of us. And I got to tell you, my NFL players, they know this too, that there's a little child inside of each one of us. And if we were to talk to that child inside of us, it doesn't have to be the, oh, you're so sweet, you're so nice. It could be the, this is what I need, this is how we're going to do it, this is exactly and specifically what I'm expecting from you right now. So it can be in a powerful voice as well. But when we can give exact, direct, and specific information to ourselves, then our brain knows how to respond, and it actually creates a synapsis or a pattern within our mind that creates an automatic pattern that makes it easy for us to create that routine and to act in the moment on that routine any place and any time, even under stress.
Hmm. So as I'm hearing you talk, Deborah, one of the things that's coming across to me so clearly is that acute awareness, and in fact, I think the whole process of moving from average to excellence, is all about being very real. So knowing that you're afraid and not trying to shove that down and act despite it, but to deal with the fear and then do whatever it is that you're setting out to do. To be aware, to be in appreciation, all of these things are so concrete, and I guess that ties back to some of the neuroscience that you were talking about and the evidence that you're trying to create through all of this.
Absolutely. And here's the thing about we take certain emotions and we call them bad or negative emotions. They're not negative or positive. They're just emotions. That's it, period. Our thoughts are energy, scientifically. Our emotions are energy, scientifically. And they feel real, and we act upon them based on the fact that they feel real, where the reality is if we were to just realize that our emotions and our thoughts are simply a signal. They're simply a signal that's going, things aren't going well right now. You need to make a change. Or if we're having what we call positive or good emotions, it's like, oh, well, that's going really well. I like this. How can I leverage this? How can I get more of this? How can I do more of this to get even greater and greater results. It would be as if I walked over, let's say that, you know, I have a stove, I'm not in my kitchen, but let's say I was in my kitchen and I've got the stove and the burner was on and there was a flame coming out of it, and I walked over and put my finger in the flame. And then I pull back and I yell, bad stove, bad stove. The stove isn't bad. The stove is doing what it's supposed to do. You know, what I could learn is that putting my finger in the fire brings about pain. Not good or bad. It brings about pain, and the sensation of pain is something I don't want to feel anymore. Therefore, don't put my finger in the fire anymore. Mm-hmm. So when we look at our emotions, no matter what emotions we have, and instead of making them good or bad, just recognize them as a, huh, that's interesting. This is the way I feel whenever that happens. And then say, well, if that's the way I feel, a negative emotion, if we want to label it such, then how would I rather feel? What can I do differently to create a different feeling and get better results in the future?
Mm-hmm. You know, and as you were talking about the stove, I remember some research that I was reading that talks about people who have a physiological disorder that prevents them from feeling physical pain. And as a result of that, they don't realize that you stick your finger in the flame and you're going to get burned. Because they don't have that feedback.
Right.
They don't know that they need to do something different, so they can't adjust. And it's the same thing when you're talking about emotional pain or any other kind of feedback, right?
Absolutely. And let me take that one step. Let me take that one step further, because someone who has schizophrenia, and this is a known scientific fact, somebody who has a split personality, one personality may exhibit everything, including blood tests, that might show them as being a diabetic. And the other personality does not.
Oh, wow.
Because of the beliefs. That's why the whole tame and train the beast thing is so important, because you cannot separate the mental, emotional, and physiological effect that your thinking, your believing has. Those three move together. If you can move your body, it will change your thoughts and your feelings. When you change your thoughts, it changes your feelings and the physiological effect on your body. It's just a triad that when you can know and understand how the triad works together and how to notice the awareness, like if I have a pain in my body and I become aware of that pain in my body, unless it's somebody, you know, if I actually stuck my finger in the fire, then I have a reason for pain. But if I'm having aches and pains in my body, it's probably because of tension. And the tension that I'm feeling in my body is probably because of thoughts and emotions that I'm having. So when I can recognize the thoughts and emotions and change how I'm thinking and feeling about something,